My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, February 13th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of the show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 556. There's no guest. It's just me in a hotel room in the Richmond, Virginia area. To be more exact, I'm at a Four Point Sheraton, the airport Sheraton in Richmond. They say in Richmond, but my phone says Henrico. So it's either one of those two places where I'm at. I did a one-nighter last night at the Colonial Downs Raceway and Casino. And I was opening for Michael Winslow. We did two shows. I had not been on stage since October of last year. And I was really nervous. So the first show was like, oh God, like I had to, before I went on for the first show, I was listening to myself. Like I listened to the last set that I did and I was like, oh, that guy can do comedy. That guy's pretty good at comedy. And then I just figured out a set list and it went well. It actually went well. It's like 200 people, sold out room, not because of me, obviously, it was because of Michael Winslow, because of his legendary career, Police Academy movies, Spaceballs, and his recent success on America's Got Talent. So he was really nice, actually, really nice, kind of kept to himself, but a nice dude nonetheless, and he fucking killed. And I opened, so they're like, yeah, you know, it was like their, I think this may have been their second or third show. Maybe like they've done less than five shows here and the place is like maybe three years old. And, so they didn't have an announcer. So I had to bring myself up and just like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the comedy night, blah, blah, blah. And Michael Winslow was just like, change your voice a little bit. You know, I did like the voice of God type thing, brought myself up. And the first set I did pretty good. I felt good. I felt like, okay, I'm back at it. You know, I didn't drive like over 2 hours to bomb in New Kent, Virginia. And so the first set went well. And then the second set was I felt like my timing was off. I didn't get too cocky or anything, but they just weren't feeling me like the crowd before. Each crowd is a different monster. And I was afraid that I was going to bomb, but I just like my adrenaline kicked in and I did fine. Like I did my job. The second set was more like I did my job. I didn't bomb. I saved myself from bombing. I had one bit that went kind of wrong, that went left and got nothing. And I just had to recover. I recovered from that. And then I had did another bit. Then I went did another bit. And I just like, I said, let me get out of here. And I just brought Michael on. But I did okay. So it was like, I felt like I was one for two last night. You know, like the second set was just like, I did my job. I entertained some of the people. And yeah, so it was good to be back. And it just refueled me where it's just like, I want to get back out there, work on my act, and get shit straight. I think once the weather clears up, I'm doing this now like early in the morning. I don't know when you'll hear this, but this is like early on a Sunday morning. And because I got to get back before it gets too crazy with possible snow. But I feel like when I'm in the what I like to do is give you guys recaps and podcasts when I'm on the road in a hotel. This is actually a nice hotel, but I'm on the first floor, and they gave me the handicap senior citizen room, where it's like a nice wide room. It's like a long room, and it's on the first floor. And I've got the handicap bathroom and a closet that's like low to the ground, like the rack is low to the ground. And I think, I don't know why they do that, but it's weird because so the casino pays for this. And the people at the concierge at the front desk, I don't know why they act like nobody's going to pay them. So they're like, oh, you know, we might need your card because the paperwork didn't go through. It's like, you guys have dealt with guests, like entertainment that has come to this club for at least 3 years, probably. And they use you guys to book their guests, their performers. And so I was like, yeah, I might need to charge your card, you know, because I was like, okay, do what you got to do. I want to get into the room. I want to take a shower and just mentally prepare for my show. So then he looked something up and he was like, oh, so we don't have to, you know, we don't have to charge your card or we don't have to use your card, you know, but we have to use your card for incidentals. And I don't know if they, I don't know. This isn't like one of those super, it's a nice hotel. It's like, but it's not a super swanky hotel. So when I got into the room and they had like two bottles of like some water, and I drank one of them, and I'm on the second one now. The casino gave me some water that I could have, and a ginger ale, Dr. Brown's ginger ale. It's not bad. It's not Canada Dry. What is? But it's actually good ginger ale. I'd never had it before. I know they've had like, I think Fuddruckers uses, has Dr. Brown's products, if I'm not mistaken. Some of them do. But anyway, it's, I remember them having, Dr. Brown's having root beer and some other type of drink, carbonated beverage. I'm not 100% sure, but it's not bad. And I had a nice dressing room there. But anyway, back to the hotel. So I was just like, I'm just going to drink them. If they charge me for incidentals, fuck it. I don't care. What could the water be? Like maybe $3-4 at most for two of them. I just said, fuck it, I'm drinking it. Live on the edge. I got here like around, I got here like Saturday afternoon. As I was driving down, I saw my check oil light come on, and then I looked at the sticker, and the sticker said October, and it was February. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to get an oil change. But I went to this place. I went to get lunch at this place called Carytown Burgers and Fries in Carytown. I guess it's called, I think it's actually, it's in Richmond. Carytown Burgers and Fries. There's two locations, one in Henrico and one in Richmond. There's a lakeside establishment. There's a lakeside location, and there's a Richmond location. I went to the one in Richmond. I think I'd heard about them before. I think somebody on Twitter mentioned the Carrytown Burgers and said it was good. And I think I had followed them for a while. And I was like, oh, I'm going to Richmond. Maybe I'll try, you know, this place. And something different. And I went, and there was kind of a line, but it was for people. I was like, oh God, I don't come here, come all the way here and then not be able to have it, not be able to check it out, you know? So, but it wasn't, it was just people waiting to be seated. I just did carry out, and it was, they said, oh, you know, it's kind of going to be a wait because we're really busy. They weren't that, it wasn't, they were busy, but it was not bad. I didn't have to wait that long. I got the burger, got some fries. Really good. Kind of reminded me of Five Guys. Burger was like kind of messy in a good way though. And I enjoyed it. It's really good. So if you find yourself in the Richmond, Virginia area, go to Carrytown Burgers and Fries. Really good. It was a weird 71 degrees yesterday. And it was just like a spring summer day. And the strip that this place is on is like, what is this strip? It's I was trying to find it. I guess Carey Street. I was on Carey Street, and it's like a strip of like nice little restaurants and stuff like that. So that was popping. It was lit, as the young kids say. I don't even know if the young kids even say that anymore. Who am I trying to fool? But it was a lot of people there, like just on that strip, having a good time. There's a couple of Publix I saw. So I'm going to have to check a Publix out while I'm down here. And it was cool. And then I went to get an oil change. I got in the wrong line. I went to this Valvoline. And it was only two lines going. Normally they have three. That's where I normally get my oil changed at a Valvoline. I should have gotten in lane one. And then this guy who got there at like 20, 30 minutes after me got service before me. And I was like, gosh darn it, you know. But I wasn't doing anything. I was just chilling. I just listened to a podcast and waited my turn like a regular person. Not like when I say regular person, like I'm a celebrity. What the fuck? I have a podcast that a couple hundred people listen to. Nobody knows who I am. But there was this one dude, like when I was like next in line, and people just don't like to wait. This one dude got out of his car, and one of the service guys was like, sir, what are you here to get an oil change? Just wait. He's like, dude, just wait like everybody else. He was white, didn't want to wait. Overall, it was a pretty chill weekend, and it was good to do a set. I was nervous about it because I hadn't done a set in a long time, but I did two shows last night. It was cool. It was good to be back. Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know what network it's going to be on. I don't know why I'm doing that. I think it's, who cares? I'm going to watch it though. I'm hoping to have some Lou Malnati's pizza I got from Gold Belly. So maybe I'll do that and a nice salad and watch the game. I'm excited to watch the game. It'll be something different, something to kill time before Euphoria comes on. How great is Zendaya? That episode last week, episode 5, she was terrific. It's everybody was saying, oh, you got to give her another Golden Globe for that performance. She's great. I don't know how many of you guys are watching it, but Zendaya is super likable as an actress. And I'm assuming that she's super likable and nice in person. She seems that way. I have no evidence to say any different, but she seems super nice. But I do not like Ruth this season. She is horrible. But that she's acting, you know, I just don't like Ruth this season. She's going to get, I think before it's all said and done, somebody's going to get in trouble and somebody's going to be dead, and it's not going to be her. One of her friends is going to be dead. I hope not, but I'm afraid of that happening. But what a great episode. And just seeing that episode last week just makes me want to see Zendaya be the lead in an action movie, like where she's on the run, like an enemy of the state type movie, or maybe she's kicking people's ass. You know what? No, I don't know about her kicking anybody's ass, but just avoiding getting her ass kicked. How about that? I don't know. Where she's just like on the run because she can do it. It was so funny. Somebody had a meme. I forget what the meme was about, but it was a meme of her towards the end of that episode, like trying to run away. I hope you can hear me. I've got my equipment here, but I'm trying to speak. And I just woke up not too long ago, and I'm trying to like not talk too loud. Cause it's still early. But yeah, she's great. And, it makes you remember, cause you know, I've been saying since the run of this season, like I'm enjoying this season, but some of the ancillary characters, I find them to be a little more interesting, than the Rue, what's her real Jules, storylines and stuff, but it is getting spicy with her, with Jules and that new kid, Elliot. Yeah, so it's getting interesting with that. Yeah, so I'm enjoying that. But Super Bowl, based on what everybody's saying, because I haven't watched football that much this season, but apparently, you know, the Rams have a great defense and their offense is really good. The O-line for the Bengals, the experts are saying that O-line is rough compared to what that front line for the Rams can do to you, to an offensive line that might be porous. All things point to the Rams winning this. Like, this, you know, I'm not trying to be on the safe side, but just like, if the Rams won and it was a blowout, I wouldn't be surprised, but you never know. That's why they play the game. So you still got to line up and execute. So we'll see what happens. I don't know who I want to root for. It'd be nice to see Odell get one when they said he couldn't play anymore, you know, trying to talk shit about him. Now he's like he's the second option next to Cooper Kupp. So we'll see what happens. It'll be fun to watch. I hooked my PlayStation 5 up and I played a couple games. I played Madden. I played the Super Bowl and I played as the Bengals. And it was pretty tight. And I came back in the fourth quarter, scored a rushing touchdown, 2-point conversion with that Jamar Chase kid was awesome. Caught a 2-point conversion on Jalen Ramsey. I was like, yeah, I won. And then the Rams got the ball for the last 30 seconds or something. And then they threw the ball to Cooper Kupp and he had like a 40-yard touchdown. And I was just like, wow. So I lost. So I don't know if that's a precursor or anything like that, but whatever. I was kind of bummed out. I felt like I had really played. I was just like, gosh darn it. But I think that's how video games are. There's, if you don't play for a long time, the computer will be like, fuck you, you're not winning. Like, you haven't played me in 4 months. And it made me and I played 2K, and 2K was fun. I did win that. I forgot who I was playing. I played as the Bucks, and I don't remember who I was playing. Maybe the 76ers. Yeah, I played against the 76ers. And this was before the trade happened, the Ben Simmons trade thing. But yeah, I forgot how, sometimes you forget how fun these games are. And that was one of the main reasons why I didn't really play anything during the run of the show. I did play Metroid Dread, but that was when I was in the dressing room. And I played a little bit like at home, but I did not want to get super engrossed in any type of game while I was in the run of that show, because I didn't want to risk being late or risk getting stuck in traffic because I was playing a fucking video game. and I didn't want to get docked. So Doc didn't pay. So video games are fun, guys. Spoiler alert. The review embargo is lifted. I think that's what you say. For Horizon Forbidden West on Monday. So Monday, Valentine's Day, the reviews are up. And I have no doubt that that game's going to be amazing. Because the first one, I didn't know much about it. And it just, I was just saying to myself, this looks good. This looks like something I'm going to play. Third person, like a RPG adventure type game. Story-based, I'm in. Female protagonist, I'm in. And red bonus points because she was a redhead. So Aloy is who I'm talking about. Yeah, for the nerds, the non-nerds that listen to this podcast. So I'm excited about that. Excited to see the reviews and stuff like that. But I already pre-ordered it. I actually did the pre-download a couple days ago. So midnight Friday, ready to go. I don't know if I'm gonna, I think I'm off that this Friday. I don't know if I'm gonna, after I log off work on Thursday, if I'm gonna take a nap and then just be up at midnight playing the game, or if I just like get up early and start playing. And so we'll see what happens. What else, guys? Madden, Super Bowl, I guess the Rams are probably going to win, but I think maybe I'll root for the Bengals because they're the underdog, and people seem to love Joe Burrow a lot. I don't know. Maybe I'll have some memes ready either way. I got some stuff in store, so we'll see. We'll see if they take off. I just hope something fun. I hope it's a good game. How about that? And I forgot to like shout out or acknowledge Blind. I forgot to acknowledge Brian Flores for suing the NFL for racism. He may never work in the NFL again, at least maybe not as a head coach. But just knowing how petty the owners are, I doubt that he ever works in the NFL again. So the cojones on that dude is it's a remarkable thing that he's doing, and I'm not saying anything different than anybody else is, but it takes guts to do that. And I just hope he's financially stable, that he can continue to earn money somewhere else and make money, make a living, teach the game to people, coach on the college level or whatever he decides to do. I hope he has a thriving career, and he can take care of his family and stuff, because it takes a lot of guts to do that. And he's a relatively young guy. I think he's, how old is he? I think he's, is he my age? Brian Flores. He's like, yeah, he's 40 years old. He's a year younger than me. His birthday is 3 days after mine. Yeah. So Godspeed to him, and I hope he continues to just have a career despite the NFL's bullshit. That's really all I wanted to say about that. I know you probably hear the Black Guy Who Tips talk about it, Rodney Caron, Three Guys On, I'm sure they talked about it, Bomani and Foxworth have talked about it, but that's all I just wanted to say about a boot. That, so I don't know how long this is going to be, but I want to do I want to talk a little bit about the Oscar nominations and talk about a couple TV shows and then give you a couple movie reviews. So let's go through some of these nominees, like the Best Picture and maybe the acting nominees. I'm hoping to do like the round table thing that I do, that about five of you enjoy. And it's a yearly tradition. Like I know like last year it was kind of a bummer when Chad didn't win, and I had fun with, Brandon and Justin doing the live stream. But like them, I've kind of become disenchanted with the whole thing. I still like to guess and talk about who got nominated and who I'm hoping to win. Like my only thing this year is like, I'm rooting for Will Smith to win one because I think he deserves it. I think based on that field, and I'll probably get into it a little in a few minutes, but I'm rooting for him. I hope it works out. And if Denzel won, I wouldn't be totally mad because, again, you know, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Dude has another gear. Like, he's been doing Shakespeare for a while. He's done a few on Broadway and stuff like that. But I hadn't seen it, so it was just like, wow, like he's amazing, you know. So yeah, so we'll see what happens. So let's do this. Let's do the best picture. I'm on the Hollywood Reporter's website right now. Let's see what they got here. Best Picture, Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune. I like to say Dune. King Richard. Wow. Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've seen all of them except Drive My Car. And shout out to Veronica Paredes, Dr. P. The great Dr. Veronica Paredes said that Drive My Car was great. And I want to see it. It's just like a 3-hour movie that when it was playing in my area, I was couldn't see it because of the I was on Broadway. So, but I've seen all of these movies with the exception of Drive My Car. So I just saw Belfast, which I'll talk about, and Nightmare Alley, which I'll talk about. That's interesting. I don't know. What do I think would win? I feel like things are leaning towards the power of the dog. It feels like just based on what a lot of the critics and the nerds are saying on Twitter and YouTube, it seems like it's going to be The Power of the Dog. It seems like it's Jane Campion's time. I thought the movie was okay, really great acting, but I was just like, and I think that's one of the last movies that my dad watched, because I know, like, I said, oh, it's going to be like this Western-y type movie on, and he was just like, ah, it's all right. Best Director, Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza, Kenneth Branagh, Belfast, Jane Campion, Power of the Dog, I Do Not, Mr. Hamaguchi for Drive My Car, Steven Spielberg, West Side Story. Like I said, Jane Campion's year. She's probably going to win. Out of all these, I would say that I liked Belfast and West Side Story out of these best directors. Steven Spielberg knows how to do a big budget movie, big musical numbers and stuff in West Side Story. Phenomenal. Belfast, kind of a quiet family drama. Really good. So I think it's probably between Branagh, Campion, and Spielberg. Best Actress, Jessica Chastain, Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart, Spencer. I have not seen Parallel Mothers. I want to see that. I think Penelope's already won. Olivia Colman's already won. Kidman's already won. I would like to see Chastain or Kristen Stewart win. The Eyes of Tammy Faye was really good. People say that it was a surprise that she got nominated, that Jessica Chastain got nominated. I don't think so, because even though that movie came out like late fall or early September-ish, kind of, that was a really good movie, and you had really good performances from Chastain and Andrew Garfield, and I just feel like Tick, Tick, Boom kind of overshadowed a great performance that he had as Jimmy Baker. Oh my God, as Jim Baker. oh my God, it's early. I should probably still be in bed. So Tick, Tick, Boom kind of overshadowed that, and probably Spider-Man No Way Home, really. He had a great performance in that, too. Yeah, so I think it's going to be Chastain or Stewart. I thought Kristen Stewart, that's the best I've ever seen her. Super vulnerable, super open performance. I dug that. And she kind of got snubbed from a lot of awards this season. I don't know if it was like the Hollywood Foreign Press or like, I don't think she got anything for, I'm not sure. I did read the SAG noms on Patreon. I talked about it, but she kind of was, I'm glad she got nominated for this because she was very good. Best actor, Javier Bardem, being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith, King Richard, Denzel, The Tragedy of Macbeth. Because Denzel's already won, Javier's already won, I think it's going to be between Will Smith and Andrew Garfield. I would not be surprised with a win from either of those two dudes, and then just Denzel possibly like fucking being an OG winning for The Tragedy of Macbeth. So we'll see, but my heart's with Will Smith, and but don't be surprised if Andrew Garfield wins. Best Supporting Actor, Actress, Jessie Buckley, The Lost Daughter, Ariana DeBose, West Side Story, Judi Dench, Belfast, Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog, Anjanou Ellis, King Richard. Heart's going to obviously be with Anjanou Ellis, and coming in second place, one of my favorite white starlets, an OG white starlet, Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog. She was really good in it. The acting was really great in that film. I just was not, it was just like, I get what's going on here. It's fine, you know? Judi Dench, very great performance. She's great in everything, but it was just kind of like, she wasn't in it that long, but when she won the Oscar for, I think, Elizabeth, I believe, she wasn't in it that long either, and she managed to win. Ariana DeBose was really good in West Side Story. I feel like she might be the front runner based on what I've read and heard, like, online and stuff like that. So from the nerds, from the journalists. Jessie Buckley, one of my favorite newish actors, saw her in this film Wild Rose that she was really good in. She was great in Fargo. She was really good in everything she's been in. But we'll see. I think the main three out of this bunch is going to be Anjanou Ellis, Kirsten Dunst, and Ariana DeBose. I feel like Ariana DeBose is going to win. Anjanou Ellis was great throughout that, throughout King Richard, but it's that one scene that brings everything home. The scene in that kitchen, which was fantastic. And then, like Randolph said when we were talking about it a few months back, the scene where she goes over to the neighbor's house and handles business, that's another one that was a little more, it was less showy, but very powerful as well. Let's see, here we go. Best Supporting Actor, Sirion Hines, Belfast, Troy Kotsur, Coda, Jesse Plemons, The Power of the Dog, J.K. Simmons, Being the Ricardos, and Cody Smith McPhee in The Power of the Dog. I will say it would be nice. I think Jesse Plemons comes out of this, but Troy Kotsur, Best Supporting Actor for Coda. Oh my God. I told you about that movie. I don't know if I said it on Patreon or on the main feed, but that movie leveled me. I was bawling. It was so sweet. And I think I did say one of the best non-realistic audition scenes since Save the Last Dance. So it was very good, and we'll see. But I, much like Another, what's the man? The man was in, oh God, Sound of Metal. The cat, Paul Racy, who got nominated. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I would be pleasantly surprised if he won, but I think it's going to be Jesse Plemons. He's kind of going against one of his castmates. He is going against one of his castmates, Jodie Smith-McPhee. J.K. Simmons won Best Supporting Actor for Whiplash. So he's won already, and that performance was good, but I just think, yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's see. I think that's all. Let's do screenplay, a best adapted screenplay and best original screenplay, and then we'll to talk about some TV and we'll get out of here in a couple movies. Best adapted screenplay, Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, The Lost Daughter, and The Power of the Dog. Man, out of these, I think The Power of the Dog is going to win. Jane Campion, I think The Power of the Dog is the front runner in a lot of the trades. All the nerds are saying that it's going to be that one. So if she doesn't get Best Director, she's probably going to get screenplay. Best Original Screenplay: Belfast, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, The Worst Person in the World. That's another film, The Worst Person in the World, that was a festival darling. The homie Jeff Cerulli said that he saw that and he really did like it. I have not seen it yet. One of my castmates from the play was raving over it, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. Original screenplay. I could see Belfast taking it. I could see Belfast getting it. But I could also see Adam McKay. I don't know, but we'll see. Maybe we'll get that round table together. We'll see what happens. But everybody's super busy, so I don't know. I'm not gonna promise it. But it would be nice to do that. So let me. What else do I want to talk about? We're going to talk a little TV film stuff. I want to talk about this. I don't know if you call it a TV show or a documentary. This Fat Tuesdays documentary on Amazon Prime. The homie Damian Lemon put me onto it. I was listening to In the Conversation, and he talked about it. But this is a blurb on Google: delving into the history of Guy Tori's Fat Tuesdays, an all-black comedy night at the Comedy Store in 90s Los Angeles. So this is basically talks about what it's like. Guy Tori had this show on Tuesdays at the Comedy Store called Fat Tuesday, PHAT. And it was a platform where so many black comics got discovered by industry and got TV gigs, movie gigs, all kinds of stuff. And it just went into the background of that. It was three episodes, and it started off like talking about how Robin Harris, the late great comedian Robin Harris, who ran a show at the Comedy Act Theater in LA when he wasn't getting his looks where he should have at the mainstream clubs, like the Comedy Store. And after he passed, Joe Torre's brother, got that show at the Comedy Store, and it just became this really popular show that essentially kept the Comedy Store afloat during those lean years. And it was their big money maker. And because a lot of times when you see these documentaries, and but the homie D Lemon mentioned that they had a Comedy Store documentary on Showtime where they just mainly interviewed white comics. And it was like, it's a lot of famous black comics that are making a lot of money touring and on TV and film and winning Oscars. Some of them have. And it's just like, why aren't we seeing these black folks? And you get to see that. And it was something inspiring for me to see, definitely after not getting on stage for a while. It's because of the play and all this other stuff going, life stuff going on. But it was just like, yeah, those are the people that I grew up watching. Those are the people that I admire. And, you know, it was cool to see that. And the ending, I don't want to spoil, but it was really sweet. And you'll find that it's also a story about family. I just don't want to spoil too much because there are things that I didn't know. And if you're a comic, it's definitely, I always like documentaries, whether it's black folks or white folks in them or whoever's in them. But if it's interesting and compelling, I'm going to watch it. But it was very refreshing to see this particular documentary as a black comedian. It was very nice, very good. Like I was 5 minutes in, I was just like, yo, this is really good. I was locked in. I highly recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's 3 episodes, so about 3 hours of your time. It's very good. Like I started watching it on Friday night and finished like right before I left to come down here on Saturday. It's terrific. This is the next thing I've been watching since Friday was Inventing Anna. This Shonda Rhimes produced show on Netflix. This is about a journalist investigates the case of Anna Delvey, the Instagram legendary heiress who stole the hearts and money of New York elites. You got Julia Garner as Anna Delvey, Anna Chlumsky as the reporter. The next big star is Laverne Cox and Anders Holm. Really good. It's good so far. I like these. It's so funny, like these like white people scamming shows and movies. Like white people, they get to like break the law and get money for breaking the law. Like they get TV shows and stuff. Like Leonardo DiCaprio did too. He did The Wolf of Wall Street, and he did Catch Me If You Can when he played Frank Abagnale, I believe. Yeah, but black people, you just get locked up. They have some. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But if you have any documentaries or TV shows or films where they're black scammers, let me know. I'd like to check them out to see what's up. Because you only see like these are like Marvel movies to me in a way. Because it's just like you get their whiteness is their superpower. They just trick all these people, and it's amazing to watch. It's so interesting. So Shonda Rhimes puts her spin on it, and it's good. Julia Garner is becoming like this really popular actress. It's good to see her in stuff. I liked her in Ozark. That's what I. What else? What else has she been in? I feel like she was in something else before, but maybe I'm wrong. She had some indie movies that she was in that I don't think I saw. I saw this movie, The Assistant, which came out in 2019, where she played like an assistant of a Harvey Weinstein like character. Yeah, she like one of the first things I saw her in was Martha Marcy May Marlene. And she's been in quite a few. She's been in a lot of stuff, but Martha Marcy May Marlene was one of the first things that I saw. And this. Oh, she was in Perks. Yeah, okay. She was in a lot of stuff. Perks of Being a Wallflower. Very good movie. It's one that I like to revisit like every few years or so since 2012. That movie's 10 years old and it's still like good to watch. Something about that, the way they shot that. Pittsburgh is just like, I don't know, I like Pittsburgh for some reason. Film shot in Pittsburgh. I visited briefly. I don't know, something about that film that was really good, Perks of Being a Wallflower. Electric Children, I think, was one of the first things. I have not seen this, but I remember her. I remember, what is this? Rachel, a teenager born and raised in her Mormon community, believes that she has been impregnated by listening to music and must get to Vegas to find the father of her miracle baby. Huh. Interesting. I just remember seeing that, a poster of that, and just never clicking on it to watch it. But now I might go back, but I like her. I enjoy her work. She's great on Ozark. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. But yeah, white girl pretending to be an heiress, a German heiress, and scamming the shit out of people. And of course, there's one. I think, how many episodes are there? There's like, are there 9 episodes? Let me see. What do we have here? I think 9. Yeah, I was right. 9 episodes. And it's the first Shonda Netflix thing that I've watched. I haven't seen Bridgerton. I'm not into period pieces, but they say this guy, Regé-Jean Page, is so great in it and so hot. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if I'll get into that show, but we will see. But that's been cool. I also watched my girl Gugu Mbatha-Raw and The Girl Before. It's a limited series on HBO, and they did four. It's a four episode series. It's solid. I mean, I would watch Gugu Mbatha-Raw read the phone book, or just, you know, take a walk through a Home Depot. I would watch her do that. She's amazing. I thought I had this thing up. Okay, so this is, so I'll read you this Google blurb. Let's see if this makes any sense. Let's see. Created, written, and executively produced. Is that okay? Produced by J.P. Delaney, The Girl Before follows the story of a smart and curious PR exec called Jane, played by Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who gets the chance to move into a beautiful minimalist home designed by a supremely self-confident and enigmatic architect named Edward Mungford, played by David Oyelowo. Jane must adhere to the peculiar house rules as stipulated by David, but a shocking discovery about the prior tenant creates an unnerving atmosphere, causing Jane to question her faith. Her fate, not faith. This stars not only Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Is it Mbatha or Mbatha? I don't know. Her and David Oyelowo are the biggest stars on this. It's okay. I almost wonder if they needed 4 episodes to get to the bottom of what they got to. But they're great actors. It's like you're kind of watching like, this is weird. And let's see where this goes. It's okay. If you like David Oyelowo and you like Gugu, you'll be entertained. But I was just kind of like, all right. Okay. Yeah. But Gugu is nice to look at. She's a great actress. And there's some moments that's just like, oh shit. And I don't want to say too much because it is entertaining. And you can, I mean, if you figured out at a certain point in the first episode, then you kind of figured everything out. But it's interesting to see how it plays out. But it's fine. It's fine. Let's do a couple movies and we'll get out of here. So I did watch, because I'm going to be voting for the SAG Awards. The other day I watched Nightmare Alley with this is nominated for Best Picture. Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, and Toni Collette, a host of other actors, but those are a few of the stars, to name a few. I will read you this Google blurb and we'll just get into it. In 1940s New York, down on his luck, Stanton Carlyle endears himself to a clairvoyant and her mentalist husband at a traveling carnival. Using newly acquired knowledge, Carlyle crafts a golden ticket to success by swindling the elite and wealthy, much like inventing Anna Delvey. Hoping for a big score, he soon hatches a scheme to con a dangerous tycoon with the help from a mysterious psychiatrist who might be his most formidable opponent yet. So I went into this movie. This is directed by Guillermo del Toro. Is this original? Did he write this too? Let me see. I should have just clicked on the movie blurb. Let me see here. Let me go to the Wikipedia. Who wrote this thing? Oh my God, where screenplay by Guillermo del Toro and Kim Morgan. So he did write this. I liked it. I didn't know much about it. I saw the trailer in the theater a few times. I was like, okay, this would be something that I would kill time with before or after a show and in between shows or something like that. Well, I was doing that, doing Lehman Trilogy. I just never got around to watching it. And I think around the time it came out, Omicron was kind of spreading and I was like, I don't want to risk it. I did risk it for Spider-Man No Way Home. But yeah, I just didn't want to risk it, but I watched it and I was like, okay, this is good. I don't know. It's 79. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 79%. I liked it. What did I give it on Letterboxd? I was entertained by it. I enjoyed it. It's good. And it's kind of good if you, I mean, I just read you the blurb, but the less you know, the better you, I think the better you are with this. What did I give it? I gave it 3.5 stars. I was entertained. I felt like there was kind of like, even though it's got a good rating, it seems like the critics didn't like it or they were expecting more from it. And then as I was watching, I was like, oh, this is good. This is interesting. Oh, it is Guillermo del Toro. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't put crap out there. So I was just like, all right, cool. Entertaining. You know, great actors in it. You know, so I dug it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what more to say about it. I think it's on Hulu now. And I watched like the digital screener or whatever, but it's available so you can watch it. And if you're looking for something interesting, it's good. No black people in it, I don't think, but good movie nonetheless. Speaking of a movie that had way more black people than I thought, even doing lines or just being in front of the camera, is Belfast, which was written and directed by Kenneth Branagh. And Belfast is a semi-autobiographical film which chronicles the life of a working class family and their young son's childhood during the tumult of the late 1960s in the Northern Ireland capital. This movie was fantastic. I gave it 4.5 stars on Letterboxd. I took a half star away because they tried to talk about violence in Harlem randomly. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Y'all killing each other. Those are crimes of proximity. And just, this is like was bad during that time, but like, get the fuck. Y'all motherfuckers was fighting for years. But it's like, it was like Harlem. I was like, fuck you. But still a great movie. Yeah, the acting was really good. There was a moment that got me. I don't know. I think I'm in a vulnerable place because losing a parent, you're going to be in a very emotional, vulnerable space. But also, like, I'm always appreciative when I can be moved by art. So there was a moment in the film that got me. There was a really great line that really hit home with me. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it was good. And it's just a very good movie. I've always been somebody who's been into like family dramas and things of that nature. So I highly recommend Belfast. I don't know. I know it's on demand. It's on VOD and it's playing in some theaters, but I think you can, It's $20. So you could wait. It's $20 just to rent. But I think if you really want to see something that's compelling and good, and you want to check out one of the Oscar nominated films, it's definitely worth it. Cause it's one of those movies where it's like, you see the trailer and it's like, okay, it's all right, whatever. Period piece, white people, black and white. All right, European. All right. It was just, and then you hear people say, oh, it's so good, bro. It's so good. It's a really good movie. And then I was just like, okay. And then I watched it and I was like, it's like, I was moved. It was one particular moment where I was super, really, really taken aback and really moved. Yeah, so it's a very good film. I guess, yeah, probably one, it has to be one of the best films I've seen in this cycle, in this past year. So very good. So that's it, man. I think I'm gonna check out of this hotel. I'm gonna go over to Publix and try not to get caught up in this snow that's supposed to come. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.